All right, it's 6:01. How do we need to do attendance?
So we did get the recommendation that we still need to call off names and do that. So I can, if you want me to, here. Although I have a record of everybody that's here, I think technically because we're recording it, we want people to say, you know, who all is here. So we can go through and pull, because I'd like you to say your own names. If we start in the, up with the members there, and then just go through in that order. Does that work? Okay. So I know I'm first on there, but that's only because it's me, but I'm Faith Dahlquist. And then next for me would be Charles.
Charles Barr,
thanks.
Present.
Great. So David, I think you're next.
Oh no, it's Sandra Blood.
Oh,
again, I don't know how to change my name. It's either Ruby or Dave, it's never me.
All right. Diana? Yeah.
Deanna McLaren.
All right. And then I think our next person is just watching today. And then who's next? And I think Eugene is also watching. Ivan? Wait, I skipped somebody. Go ahead, Ivan.
Ivan Chambers, present.
Thanks. Jennifer Kohler?
Yep, Jennifer Kohler.
Beautiful. I think Dr. Sparlin, you're next.
John Sparlin.
Great. Juliana?
Juliana Carvelis.
Great. LaTanya?
LaTanya Hamilton.
Leo?
Leo Raspberry's present.
Wonderful. Lex?
Alexis Davis here.
And they're okay.
Michael Lealy, present.
Thank you. Wonderful. Renee?
Renee Sartor, present.
Wonderful. Ruth?
Ruth Croner.
All right. Salma?
Did you say Saima?
Saima, yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I need to put on my glasses. It looked like an L. All right. And Shanice? Very good. Shanice? Great. Tony?
Tony Morgan.
Right, and it seems like I skipped somebody. Who has an eye? Alicia?
Alicia Martinez, I'm present.
Wonderful. All right, now I think Tony and Ruth, I think we've got attendance taken care of.
Yay.
Excellent, thank you. All right, let me go back to my agenda that I just had up. There we go. Agenda. All right, so first up, can I get a motion to approve the meeting minutes from our December 2nd, 2020 meeting?
Move for approval.
I move.
I'll second.
Great, thank you guys. Really briefly, we wanted to just touch on part of the attachments that were sent with the agenda were two policies that the board had asked us as a committee to just kind of look over. And did anybody see anything that stood out to them or that would be a concern that as an equity committee we would want to discuss? It's kind of a lot of legalese in those, but
right. And just look. Right, just for some background pieces there. So we have board policies, but we also take a lot of our things from an organization called PRUSS, which is a group of attorneys that review and go through and write policies that are very general for many, many school districts. And we start out from that point of what has already been approved and gone through by legal minds and those things. So the items that we have in here are often things that are recommended from there. And it went to our policy committee, but they had also felt that we should take a look at it. So if you look at grading and promotion, I have it pulled up on my screen, so hopefully you'll be able to see quite a bit of that. The red is what is the suggested new. Now it would be performance on standardized tests by the Illinois State Board instead of listing these specific things. Changing the names, and then we all have to have policies. So now they're just going to stay standardized. Any questions or concerns about that one? All right. Okay. Thanks. And then if we look at next guesses here. So the next pieces are on looking at high school credits for non-district experiences. We have some things in our district that we do that are listed here on the second page of this that I wanted to highlight for people. That we have some of our volunteer service credit programs, and then we, if you see the place that's highlighted here, and please note, because this is not part of PRESS, where we have community college classes that we work with for credit, and we also do dual credit through other organizations. So this is just making sure that all of that is as it should be. Anything on that one? All right.
Nothing stands out.
Okay. So then, Ruth and Tony, did you have anything else that you wanted to add on that, or should I go in next to the equity statements?
No, we can check it off the list. We presented it to the group, and there we go. So you guys take over, and we'll do the bulk of our meeting is going to be about the equity statements. So just remember to mute if you're not speaking, and hopefully I'll be able or someone will be able to see if people have their hand raised. So if you had questions.
So I thought I would pull this up and just talk through it a little bit, and then I will stop sharing, and then I can see if hands are raised and those things. But if anybody wants to help me out, if people are raising their hands while I'm presenting, I may not always see that while it's here. So just to recap, how we got to where we're at today. If you recall, at one of our meetings, we created a whole lot of statements that we felt were really important around different areas. And like, for example, the statement about curriculum that you see here, we worked as a group, some of us in person and some of us on a Jamboard, to look at statements that we thought were really important around that. And then we put dots by them, and these numbers here are the number of dots that the statements got that really resonated with people from our committee. So then we went through and looked at these, and then LaTanya and I did our best to capture a lot of what that is in, and then put in a statement that we wanted to have more people look at, and that is down here in the first draft, where we put all that together and said, we pledge to deliver a curriculum free of bias and instruction that is responsive to the needs of all students and is relevant and effective. And we also thought it was important to take some actionable steps, that so you had a belief statement and then you had a first action step. And we, in our first attempt, said make diversity, equity, inclusion a top priority in all the future adoptions of curriculum and textbook materials by building it in as a necessary component in all materials that will be piloted and or selected. What we then did with these statements is we took it to the much larger diversity, equity, and inclusion group. Also had a few students look at it there with that committee, and they really worked on making suggestions to make it better or to make it resonate with them. So what you see up here in a little larger font is now the second draft of that statement as well as a first action step. So the changes, the group really liked "we will" instead of "we pledge," a little more definitive there. And then there was a lot of feedback there that free of bias, that it really like that we were coming at it from a textbook, like trying to do that, but you're always going to have, you know, some bias, and even in older classes you might be talking about that. So a lot of feedback with that group. We will deliver curriculum and instruction that is responsive to the needs of all students and is relevant and is effective. So I know I'm taking a lot longer on this first one, but I wanted everyone to know kind of where we're at, that we, that this group created the statements down here in blue. Then LaTanya and I worked on putting these together. Then we took it to a larger group and made suggestions. And what I would like for us to do, and LaTanya, jump in if you think differently, is I'm not always sure that everybody had a chance to look through and really spend a little bit of time with that. Or if you're like me, maybe you did it a couple of days ago and you need to refresh yourself on it. So I thought that I would just go through and then scroll down, give people a little bit of time to look at what the statement about racism here and what our first draft was, and then where it moved to for the second draft. And what that looks like.
And I believe we all got a copy of this too. It might be easier for a lot of people to pull that up and read it.
Yes, it's linked into the agenda. So if you want to go at your own pace or your own speed, you certainly can do that. Thanks for chiming in with those pieces. And then a statement around recruitment.
Thank you, love.
And then a statement on recruiting and retaining staff with diverse backgrounds. Kind of where we were and where we're at now. And then student voice. Really like that it's now we will empower student voices as a critical tool instead of we pledge to utilize student voice. Much better than what we had originally come up with. And then around professional development.
I have one suggestion, if we could go back to page 408.
Sure.
Just had some notes here.
Which topic? So four, all right.
Page 408, okay. Where it states, yes, it says, recognize the value, including the voices of those affected by bias. I think that maybe we should change that to all affected by bias instead of those.
All right. I'm still trying to catch up with where you're at. So which statement are you on? Student voice?
Student voice, correct.
Okay.
Student voice.
So we will empower student voices as a critical tool in creating inclusive, socially just, and then the action stuff. None of the blue pieces would be included in the equity statements. It would just be these pieces.
Okay, perfect.
I should have said that before. I don't know, maybe I need another copy. So we're just looking at, I wanted to keep our work from before fresh and in front of us. We're just looking at the second draft statement, and then the action step is, you know, is that what we would feel is our belief and our statement around equity, and then a first action step. So glad that you helped me be better on my game and helped me clarify that. Thank you.
Yeah, because if you all recall, this, those statements and under each of the was based upon the work that you all did.
Big projects and small projects. I am just ready.
So we were just actually, documenting all the responses and keeping them there to remind you of what you all, the work that you had done. And then out of that came the themes.
Perfect. And is this going to embody essentially how DEI functions? Like we're outlining like what we're going to function like as we move forward. That's what this is about.
It's a little bit bigger than that. So yes, it's this group, but we envision this being something that would be setting the equity statements and the pieces that we need to constantly reflect in almost all of our committees, maybe even all of our committees. So as we look at budgets, as we look at new curriculum materials, as we look at deciding what we're going to put in for professional development, as we look at policies, as we look at what are the key things that are our beliefs, around equity, and then also then what are our first action steps, how are we doing on those, what are the next action steps to kind of be beginning a much longer plan and kind of a guidance document for the whole district to be able to use around what are the key things that we really hold dear to our hearts about equity, and then starting to put in some of those action steps. So yes, it's this group, but equity and inclusion and diversity is all of our work, not just this group, but this group would be helping create those statements and helping be a place that we would monitor how we're doing on those action steps that district.
And who would monitor how SROs interact with, let's say, black students and like discipline? Would that fall underneath DEI, or would that fall underneath other parts? Because I would think that would be an emphasis for us, especially regarding the larger theme of like the prison to pipeline issue. Is that getting too high in the sky, too abstract, or is that something that...
No, I think that's some of the specifics that you might want to look at, and it could be something that this group could shed light on, but the people that actually work with the SROs or the student resource officers, we would need to have them involved in any of those things. But equity and inclusion is really every single thing that we as a school district do, so it's not just the work of this committee, but this committee... could highlight like what you had just talked about. Maybe that is something that we want to look into. I'm looking forward to, as we meet with our student ambassadors and start the YPAR process, that they are students but also say, here is an issue that we really want to address and we've worked through it and we want to problem solve it and we have solutions, and they could bring it to this. So this is really huge, large, very impactful statements that we need to have so many of our teams, our committees, and our processes come back and reflect to these statements. So it's finalizing what those equity statements should be, but it's going to be many, 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 many teams, committees, and work that actually do the work that would fall in here. Because everything we need to do has to have this lens, not just this.
Jennifer's raised her hand.
Oh, okay.
I think just a question as we're clarifying. I understand what we're doing, I think, and I'm just curious for input on addressing ableism and celebrating neurodiversity, and just wondering if that might be a focus, or if that's our responsibility at all. I'm reading these statements and I believe wholeheartedly in them, but I also want to almost add ableism and celebrating neurodiversity, because I think, as Charles, you talked about the issues that are very important too. I think that we look at disabilities and we look at our students who don't have a voice. How do we amplify those? And so I don't necessarily know if that's the work of this committee, but it's something that I feel passionately about, and I just was curious about any clarification on where to go with that.
This is Toni Morgan, and I have to say, absolutely. From the time we got this committee as an idea, and we started figuring out who we could have on the committee and who would be able to help. That was part of why we formed the committee the way we did, because we wanted to highlight all kinds of equity issues, and that includes neurodiversity and learning differences. So absolutely, that's part of the package.
But I also want to address Jennifer in the sense that she's saying she doesn't see it in the words. That's what she, and so that's, is that what you're saying, Jennifer?
Essentially, yes. But I don't know if that's our responsibility at this level of the committee to add that in, or if it's just, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm making any sense. I second the second cup of coffee thing, though.
I'm making here.
Okay, yeah. So again, going back to we acknowledge the existence of racism, and that is a huge issue that I absolutely want to focus on. But I also see the ableism that exists and want to know if that's going to be a focus or something we add in now or address later.
Yeah, I had something along with that. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt anyone.
No, you weren't interrupting, because the other thing that was being said the first time we gathered was around LGBTQ and making sure that, I think one of the other members asked about that with me the last time. And so those are also other, phrases and groups that we want to make sure is reflected in this work. Okay, I'm sorry, Juliana, go ahead.
No, I agree with Jennifer. I guess my perspective also, if this is something that we are releasing to the community and staff, I don't want to say dumbed down, but I think pared down to more specific language, like Jennifer was saying, with actual terms, helps to try to kind of acknowledge this specificity of what we're trying to do, because it can be very specific and specific, and I think that's really important to recognize.
Yeah, these are belief statements. About equity statements, these are truly belief statements, and they utilized as the drivers of the work that the larger DEI committee or this equity committee or any of the other committees that Faith just mentioned. So Jennifer and Juliana, when you speak of those things, when you talk about ableism, I mean, the things you're talking about should be reflected in at least one of these statements that are located that are on this sheet when this is and when this project's finalized.
Yeah, I think I see those as more actionable steps. When I read this, I think more in terms of what said earlier. This is our guidance. This is what guides us. And then once you establish the guidance, then you drive that down to more actionable steps that need to be executed. One thing I don't want us to lose, I thought one of the initial intents of creating this list was that this would also formulate a resolution, right? Are we still on that track? Generating a resolution.
So we're going to bring the statements and those things to, for discussion at the board of what that would look like. And as we, and I don't want to speak for our two board members that are here, but I know we have quite a few people that are leaving the board and people that are joining. And I want to think about the right timing of what that would be to bring this board and to talk through that, and also to see if there are any other groups that we want to have looked over this. I think some of that would be a decision at the board level on what is the right timing and what that would be. But you are right that is how we initially talked about this, and whether it would be here are our equity statements and our belief statements, or whether it's as a resolution. Either way, it needs to be very public, and the pieces that we would use to drive and reflect on in almost everything we do.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Thank you for clarifying that. I think let's get to the bottom of these, and then let's go back and revisit where we might want more specifics or how we could make it absolutely sure that this is inclusive and is trying to address meeting all of our students' needs. So climate for learning, and what that looks like in our first action step, which we're making a lot of progress in. I'm so excited about implementing the climate for learning framework. And what that would be, and then our statement around policy that we would advocate for equitable structures embedded in our school systems, policies, and practices.
I have a question from there.
Sure.
I love the idea of advocacy, but I wonder if we could even go stronger with this and say equitable structures will be embedded in our school systems, yeah, policies, and practices.
Okay.
There's no question about it.
And even a stronger statement is must be.
Hmm. Yeah.
So instead of advocate, you were like, equitable structures will be embedded in our school systems, policies, and practices?
Yes.
So it would look something like that. How's everybody about it? I'm fine with that.
That's pretty good, Paige. I have a question. This is Liz Boone.
Sure.
My question is, in the event where there is an infraction of any of these statements, what is the recourse?
Well, it would need to be addressed, and we would need various levels of what that would look like. I'm having a hard time having a one-size-fits-all answer to that question. Some of these things could be at the classroom level, some of them could be at the district level, some of them could be communications that that we need to rethink that happen in our hallways that aren't formal.
And that's all fine and good, but what my concern is, I don't think many parents know what they're supposed to do should there be an infraction of any of this kind of stuff. It's all good to say it.
Okay.
There's no more how to address it.
Okay.
And sometimes they address it in silence, and the next thing you know, they're gone.
I think, this is Ruth speaking. I think that brings up an excellent point. I think that that would be kind of a next step, like first,
yeah,
we develop this statement, and then maybe that would be something that we would need to take to the policy committee,
yeah,
and have a,
yeah,
something built around that that would lay out specific,
yeah, right,
specific,
yeah,
items,
yeah,
under, and I'm fine,
right,
with that. I just think all along up to this point, as long as I've been around, there has not been a clearly defined path.
I think that we have to set a new framework here, right? I mean, once,
mm-hmm,
this is defined, this is not the end of all, right? I think there's, as we said before, there are necessary steps that need to be taken to make sure that this is drilled down to the various levels. And then once you get to those levels, what does it mean in terms of execution?
And that's wonderful,
so,
as long as we,
yeah,
don't overlook that piece.
Right, right, of course. We have to continue it, yeah.
Liz, you know, a way you could look at that is, we just covered two policies. And the board approves the policies, and then there are procedural documents that fall behind each one of those policies. So like Leo just mentioned, a guidance document, and then there's the following step that comes after that in regards to the procedures that follow with the policy or with these equity statements in this example.
And maybe that's what we should expand to, say, policies, practices, and procedures.
I can put that in here.
I have a question, if that's okay. I'm fairly new to, I've been in education for a while, but district politics is newer to me. Could the board then send back a revised version of what we put, and then they only want to approve what they revise? Or is it, this is what we put forward, they're going to sign off on it or not, or they'll go through it and change language that they feel comfortable with? How does that work?
Yeah, Carol, go ahead, Faith, you got it?
Well, I don't want to speak over top of my boss.
No, go ahead.
I can't always see who's getting ready to talk. this is a board advisory committee, so this the function of these committees, much similar to like teaching and learning or the finance committee, they work on, you know, getting input, putting forth documents, but it is always the Board of Education's final say. Nothing is given to the board and say you have to vote yes in everything of its entirety. The advisory committees are kind of like what the board says, advisory, to build things, make sure that there's vested, that there's had lots of input, and then we always have two of our board members serve on the advisory committees, as they do now, so some of the members know the background and the processes that went through some of the work before it goes to the board level. Dr. Spellman, did you have things to add?
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. And sometimes, Charles, what happens is, you know, you send this our work to the board, and the board will have discussion, and they may have questions, and they may send that work back down to the committee to have further discussions. And it's a kind of a give and take. And then, but like Faith said, ultimately the Board of Education has the final decision and say on these things.
Thank you.
And can I just say a little something? That part of the reason, this is Toni Morgan again, you know, from being on the board perspective, I'm a teacher in my regular life, but part of the reason why that's true is that you present this whole package of things that you'd like, and say you said for procedures you want to have staff development, and that's a lot of money for a particular staff development. Maybe the board would say yes to something that is within the budget, but they can't do the bigger package. Or if it's a procedure where you want every single time the student does such and such, they're sent to the office. But at the school level, they say, no, that's really something the teacher should be handling. So there's a lot of things that have to be done to work with the whole organization and the budget and all the different considerations to make sure that it gets put into place. And I think that I'm very excited because I'm hoping that it really will get put into place and it will be thought through enough that it'll be an actual working situation instead of one of these things where we just declare that this is what we would like to be so, but then we don't have all the parts that make it so.
And sorry, I'm chuckling. I'm excited too. I'm excited to get to the work that Elizabeth is talking about, because I think it would be beneficial to really even sit down as a board and just kind of go through narratives or scenarios, because in a lot of ways, we're kind of getting to do something for the first time in terms of addressing racism inside of school and having some sort of actionable steps, because up until now, there's not been a playbook. So it'd be good to go through scenarios that we've experienced and say, how would we go through these procedures? What would that look like? I think that's what I'm most excited to gain from this process.
Great, thanks. With that, are there other hands raised, or should I cover the last piece here?
I just had one quick thing for the last action, or for the action statement for the last one. Under the bottom of the, let's see, where is it, where it says engage leadership in discussions, when you look down at the blue, it does say kind of, you know, top down, but also, you know, kind of, I just feel like there should be something that's, sorry, I'm not speaking well. It's been a long day. Engage leadership in discussions with all stakeholders of current scenarios to make it seem like this is an actual community thing, and we're looking at it from all sides.
Okay, so I think you're looking at the first action step, engage leadership in discussions up front. So what was the add?
Engage leadership in discussions with all stakeholders of current scenarios that may shed light.
All right, good ads. All right, keep thinking. We'll go down to the last one, and then we'll go back in and make sure that we've got things where we want them to be. So community partnerships, again, took out pledge and went to we will.
If that we will partner and collaborate on one initiative.
Sure. It does. Should we add partner? Is it slightly different? I like the partner.
I'm not sure if this is Dr. Kitchen. I'm not sure if that's partner and collaborate.
I was trying to figure out what those are two in the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of that's how I was one who kind of struggling with it.
That's sticking out for me.
Is one more closely knit than the other, though? That's what I was trying to.
Partner is closer.
Yeah, because collaborate is just, you know, when you come up with an idea, you throw it out there and give somebody's input. But when you're partnering, you're working very closer.
Collaborate as well.
Yeah.
And you take on ideas, you take it on, you impact, there's empathy there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did we want to leave it? Just with partner or with? All right.
Yes. I'm seeing a lot of nodding heads for leaving it with remove, collaborate, and have partner instead.
All right. Thank you for the assist on the nonverbal
discussion.
I agree. Yeah. I don't have my head on there, but I agree. Partner.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so now that we've kind of gone through the generals, let's go to the top. And when we were talking about, is it really sounding like it's inclusive for all of the things like neurodiversity, for, you know, all of the, if it's ableism, if it's all of those things, let's read through just the second draft pieces and keep that in mind. So we're talking about curriculum and instruction that's responsive to the needs of all students and is relevant and effective. We're talking about, we acknowledge the existence of racism in our schools and community. We'll speak out against injustices, dismantle those pieces. This is more specific around, you know, a certain group or injustice, but I think that was some of the driving force behind this. So we need to think about if that's how we want to do it or if we want to have it be more inclusive of other sometimes marginalized groups and or not.
I was just going to say, I think we need to leave in the existence of racism, but do we need to add a little bit more language that includes other, something like
other aspects,
prejudice or race,
equity.
Yeah.
And inequity, the acknowledge the existence of racism and inequity,
and biases.
Yeah.
It's the whole language piece there. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. So it sounds like to me you're saying racism, biases, and inequity.
Yes, ma'am.
I think so.
Yeah.
Take away the dope double and.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You know, you got a lot of two teachers on board here.
That's good. That's good. My mother, the English teacher, would very much approve. Put the Oxford comma back in. I don't know if you're a fan or not.
I was just going to say, I like
it. I don't even move it. I'll just put the comma in.
Right. I almost find myself at the end of this sentence say an inclusive school community for all, but inclusive should be for all. Do you think we get it in there enough, or do we need to say, really hit that home more? I've erased and put back several times.
I think if we add for all, it's a little bit redundant.
Okay.
That's just my personal opinion.
I like it because it mirrors the Pledge of Allegiance.
I just had a quick comment too. Whenever.
Sure, go ahead. So
where it says we will speak out against injustices, is there a way we could add actively speak out? Just to like know that we're working towards this as a common thing, like it's happening constantly instead of just we will speak out, like it's continuous.
Wants to make it stronger. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. All right. I'm going to erase the green here so we see how it looks. do we feel that that now has incorporated more of what we're wanting to do to make sure that we're addressing, you know, more beyond racism? Does that help with neurodiversity, ableism, all of those pieces? Does that feel more inclusive?
Hey, Faith, can you, I just saw something pop up, but will you actively speak out and address?
Yeah,
it's one thing to speak out about it, and it's another thing to take action and address what's being spoke out about.
Yeah, I was trying to look along the same lines. I was looking at the word work there, so that was kind of...
I'm just throwing that this out there. Is it worth saying BIPOC, LGBTQ, neurodiverse, or disabled? Is it worth naming the marginalized groups that we are working to provide the equity for?
We talked about that some at the larger group, and we started to do all of that. The reason that we didn't, but that doesn't mean that this group, you know, because we had a discussion around all of that, that we really want these statements, while we're going to have to draft them and redraft them as it comes in, we didn't want, now there is, you know, another group or another piece, and they're not listed. We would need to continually update, which we should, but yet it is more of, regardless of what new groups or new people, like, it's everybody, where we felt like we might miss out on some other group that has yet to have a new name.
Yeah, I agree with that, Faith.
Do we want to leave in actively speak, or do we want to say we will educate and address?
One thing, to shift mindsets seem kind of, I don't know.
Yes.
I didn't like that. Shift mindset, there. That seems.
Yeah. What that looks like.
Yeah.
I think you should use the word change, not shift.
Shift or educate or something, yeah. But the shift is.
You need to work to change those mindsets, because that's what's missing. And change, I'm a change organization major, so that's and so, yeah, it's hard to change. It's hard to change people. It's hard to change their thoughts, their mindsets, but it can be done.
How's it looking now?
Yeah, and the last point I was to ensure an inclusive and, so for some reason, the word equitable keeps popping in my mind. Schools, community. But you could be inclusive, but still not equitable.
Yeah,
true.
I like that point, Leo.
How about exclusive? There's a chat, a comment in the chat. How about exclusive and something? I lost it.
I think in the, for discussion of the, it needs to be just committee members. Sorry, I know it's really hard to sit there and listen, I know.
I like the educate.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I saw that, and then I think that's what I was getting to. Change mindsets. It seems like we're not educating.
Yeah.
We're just trying to force people to think a certain way, as opposed to educating them.
I feel like it gets too political almost. You know, we're always using these words, and not that I don't think that, you know, things need to change, but we're trying to find language that is inclusive of everybody in the district, so that way, you know, we're educating, we're coming together, where change is a little bit more forceful. And believe me, like, I'm all for it, just I'm just trying to think of how this would be perceived by the community, just based on my experiences in it.
I think that's a red flag for some people if you say change.
Well,
a mindset.
We need to change.
I agree, right? But I think that gets more.
So long. We've been.
I agree.
But we've been pussyfooting around for a little
while. I agree.
And if you don't say what you really mean, then it gets interpreted, because it could be my educating could be different from someone else's educating. Right. So who's educating? Who's doing the educating? You know, are you actually going to go out and hire an educator who's skilled in that area to bring, you know, a new thought into the environment? No, you're not going to do that. So why set it up that way? I mean, to me, it just seems like you're putting icing, you're sugarcoating it by using terms that can be interpreted, because you want to change the mindset, but to educate someone on what?
But we're also trying to hold them to a standard, like you're saying, I think, Elizabeth, like, this is the expectation. We want, this is where you need to be.
Yeah.
So, I hear you.
I think both phrases have their limits of subjectivity. You could probably read into both phrases, educate, change to what, educate to what. I think that maybe further that it's spelling out what we're trying to educate towards, what we're trying to get people to change and really outline what that is specifically. Self-awareness, awareness of yourself socially, all those things. So.
If you're going to bring those specifics in, absolutely. But then you have to bring those specifics in.
Yep.
Can we maybe then say for, add to the end of it, for all identities or people from, because I feel like the idea of educate and change is headed in the right direction, but maybe it's the back half of the sentence. If we talk about specifically as being protected and empowered. Or for people of all identities.
Environment for people of all identities. Yeah, now it looks more like what you're trying to get to versus some high level, you know, conversation, which is what I think we've been having. I'm sorry. Don't let me get started.
It's okay. I'm noticing also here that this section is entitled Statement About Racism.
Yes, it is.
So, do we want to change the title of this section, or do we need to have something separate and specific
in the teaching
that to address racism?
Yeah, one thing you don't want to do is water this down so much that you lose its original purpose.
I would like to keep it, if possible, if we were able to focus it specifically on racism, because whenever we begin to mix racism and bigotry, we begin to reprioritize and things get muddled. This is really speaking directly towards what DEI is in existence and being more in existence in districts.
If we're going to do that, I would just like to submit and put on the minds of the members is the silence that occurs. And I think that is more blaring and glaring, if anything, if you're going to speak, but the silence is the piece that is just outright disrespectful. And I think I just need to leave it there.
So should I be taking this out?
Yeah, I think that needs to be, it should stand on its own.
I think the more I'm thinking about it, we maybe need to have two separate things.
Maybe we're headed towards a statement about racism and a statement about traditionally marginalized identities.
I want to reiterate silence, which is apathy, which is turning our heads the other direction, not addressing it.
Right, which is why it's important to have statements in there about actively speaking out and addressing. And then, like we had said later, we'll have specific, you know, developing specific policies and action steps that would kind of clarify what that looks like.
Refrain from silence.
Well, you can also, you could say we will not remain silent and speak and actively speak out and address. You just want to add that to the second statement.
get.
Thank you for bringing that up. That was exactly what I was trying to think about how to say.
So then I think I heard people say that we would want to take pieces of this and make another section.
I think that's what Michael had said too, like having two separate statements, because the more I look at it, it's like this does need to stand on its own because it's so important. But I like what Michael had said about, you know, getting to a different, having a different statement. Michael, was I correct? And I think that was two separate statements. I'm with you.
So what would be our general, like this is statement about racism, this is statement about
I had
and inequity. That's where you were headed.
Yes.
I think an identity. Well, yeah. Michael, explain how you did a good job talking about identity.
I had a statement about traditionally marginalized identity.
Yeah. We like that better than biases and inequities?
Well, traditionally marginalized identity, I think, says it all.
And that also allows for, as we were talking before about future groups or groups we might not even be considering at this point, to be included in that specific statement.
So it'd be like two separate, like a statement about racism and then like a statement for inclusivity, is that a word? The inclusive statement, so two separate.
All right, so then let's go back to the statement about racism. Should I be taking out biases and inequities up here?
Yeah, take that out. Make that part of the second.
Which of this now is this? How we want to read it, we could even have a similar statement. We're just saying from different groups.
By acknowledging the existence of racism in our schools, I mean, that's what we are doing. That's exactly what we're doing. So we don't need to add any more things about racism.
So this, were you suggesting taking out all of this?
No, leave that in. No, leave that in. Yeah.
No, I was just looking at the first sentence.
Okay, right. Now,
you were asking to remove the bias pieces for handling. I just think we acknowledge it.
Right. And then the next.
Yeah. Anybody that reads that then knows what this is about here, and they will feel they might be able to exit.
Let's go down to the next one, and I'll clean this up.
Julia said one thing, and I noticed the same thing. And it, just at the top, it says demand all structures lead to inequity. And wait, where was it? And will, instead of just and actively, and will actively speak out.
Okay.
Yes. Just let it look like we actively speak.
Yeah.
right. Then let's go down to the next one, the statement about traditionally marginalized identities. So we start off almost exactly the same for good or for bad.
Where are you now?
So I am down where we're now trying to create the, so nothing that was in the original, well, unless you're working off the link. So it's statement about racism, and then I've created another box underneath that that is just statement about traditionally marginalized identities and how we want to get that statement, you know, to make sure that we are building that inclusive and equitable school community for people of all identities. And do we want to think that, or we're really good with that language, we just want to make sure that we're, you know, extending that also past and with racism.
Acknowledge the existence and biases of and inequities of
marginalized. Yeah. So that has to be put in there. Yeah.
Great point. If you are a member of any one of those identities, reading this statement will give you a sense of hope, a sense of security.
Yes.
At least the beginning, and then that's the piece that I operate from. If you are a member and it's not addressed, it's just ignored, then your sense of who you are and value and worth immediately diminishes in that environment. And this ensures a different type of experience.
Right.
Can I suggest, instead of marginalized identities, you could use cultural identities or individual characteristics? They're both different. You know, I think marginalized is, I think you can be broader than that by using, you know, cultural identities or individual characteristics or both.
So I'm gonna leave, let's see if we put in,
being gay a characteristic, it's like it's deeper than that, it's core. I don't think that quite goes to who I am, and like
I don't know how much longer my meeting's gonna go, but I don't think too much longer.
That's fine.
Okay, so
how do we feel like it was done, but I didn't. Okay, I'll be out in a little bit.
Tony, you're not on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe at some point we could take the word marginalized identities, take those two pair of words, and maybe expand it, maybe put an asterisk or something, to maybe put out a list, kind of to give people an idea of what that means.
Or maybe you leave out additionally, because everything marginalized identities is saying it right there. So traditionally, we don't know if this is a traditional tradition. You know, we're saying too much there. I don't know if we should infer that this has been being done. We're addressing those identities.
I'm good either way. I guess my only point was, when people read marginalized identities, do they know what that means? And I was just saying, should there be an asterisk to kind of expand that, right? I'm sorry.
Oh, Yeah, you can expand it. I'm with you.
Yeah, not in the statement itself, but just have an asterisk or something, just expanding to so people can have an idea of what that means, right, when you say that. And you could put groups, and you could say et cetera in that to kind of, you know, take on the future.
I like, Leo, I like the idea of kind of clarifying that, because I think someone who feels marginalized knows that it refers to them, but maybe not everybody understands
what's
included in that, like who.
Right.
And we, I think it's important.
What you're referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Clarity.
Yes.
Clarify your
statement. About which identities specifically we're talking about. I think this encompasses everyone, as Jennifer was saying, we can touch ableism, neurodiversity, people from different socioeconomic backgrounds. Like, this really allows us to get at every possible identity, I think. And I also, I'm kind of grappling with the word traditionally. I think that there's something to the historic nature of identity being marginalized, and that word traditionally may be, and that's like
assuming.
Yes.
We don't want to do that, but wrongfully.
I think maybe we need to dwell on, think about a little bit more exactly what vocabulary we want to use there, because I do think that throughout this discussion, we have shown repeatedly that the specific vocabulary that we're using is going to be important.
Very important,
yeah. And I will say, it is already 7 o'clock.
Ruth, I'm wondering if I should... Yeah, I'm wondering if I should take all of this, take all the blue statements out, the first draft off, so we see how it reads without all of the other pieces on there. And then ask for people to, you know, send some feedback on those pieces as we look at that. That may mean that we wouldn't finalize this until the next meeting, or I don't know if people feel comfortable enough of we wordsmith it a little bit, send it out to everybody, and see if we can get to some resolution there so that we can move forward with this.
I definitely like the idea of cleaning this up and sending out a clean copy for everyone to look at and read on their own time. Some people think more clearly in the morning versus at 7 o'clock at night, when you need another cup of coffee or maybe have a migraine. It's up to the committee if we want to revisit this again at our next meeting. And talking through it together as a group.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, Ruth, I would recommend that you do exactly what you just said. And these statements and these belief statements and wordsmithing, this is such important work. This is laying a foundation, and we want to make sure we get it right. So I would recommend that you come back to this. Faith cleans it up, go through it again, and have that the next few weeks to see what resonates with everyone. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay. I think it's important that we get it right and that we collaborate and partner with each other to get the right words.
All right, then I will get this out to everyone tomorrow, and I think I'll leave what we had so that you can reference that, and I'll just put I'll copy and put it at the front, and then you can just scroll down and see the history if you want to revisit what it was and some of the statements that helped us generate that.
Sounds good.
All right. Anything else?
I think we're good. Great work.
I did just want to say really quick that I recognize that we did not have a spot for public comment. And we will make sure that we add that in to our next meeting, because I do think that that's important. And I apologize that was not on here. I thank you to all of our guests who were watching us tonight. I can't imagine how hard. I have a really hard time not saying. saying my piece. So, I get it. I understand that that's difficult, and we will have time for public comment. At the next meeting, you can always email myself or Tony or any of the other committee members or chairs as well.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, take care, everyone. Take care.
All right.